The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel, Tupper's Plains, Ohio, connecting people to God. Join us now for an anointed message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
Today I want to start talking about my Redeemer lives. Job 19:25, for I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth. Amen. Our Redeemer came. Our Redeemer went back to heaven, and our Redeemer will return. Hallelujah. That's exciting for us to know our Redeemer lives. Psalms 107 verse 2 says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Say so. Now, I guess what I need to do is talk a little bit about redemption, because I want to show you how in Hebrew society, Jewish society, redemption was just a part of their overall society, law, and teaching. And so they understood redemption a little more than we understand redemption. But, you know, we have a somewhat of a concept of redemption. We redeem things. Let's look at a definition of redemption. Definition of redemption is to buy back, to repurchase. You can go ahead and take that off again now. The definition of redeem is to buy back or repurchase. Something that was purchased. Now, here's the idea. It was something that was purchased from you, and you get to buy it back. You get it back. Or someone else buys it back for you. How many have ever got gift cards? Texas Roadhouse or Amazon or, you know, it all kinds of things. And what do you do with those? You take them and you redeem them, right? So we can get, it's already been paid for. All you have to do is prove that you it's been paid for with your card or whatever it is that they give you. I think it was last year, a couple of years ago, Tammy got some gift cards for some of the people in the church, some of the leaders, and she went to Sam's and got those. Well, when they checked them through, they have this machine that they load it with, and for some reason, a couple of the cards did not get the proper amount put on them. So when the person went to use them, surprise, surprise, they couldn't get it. They couldn't purchase whatever it was that they were purchasing. Probably what might have been. It was Texas Roadhouse. Okay. So they went to Texas Roadhouse, ate their meal, thinking they were going to have it paid for, and surprise, that is not cool at all. No. And it was all Tammy's fault. So she had to take it back, of course, and get it all straightened out. But here's the thing I want you to understand. When it comes to redemption, and we're going to talk about the overall redemption and why it was so prevalent in the Jewish society and how they understood it in a much deeper way than we understand it. Because they understood that God had a plan of redemption for them. It was all through their society. And when you're redeemed, you know that the price had been paid for you. It had already been paid. The Church of Jesus Christ sometimes doesn't understand that the price has been paid. And I'm telling you, the price has been paid not just for your salvation so you can go to heaven. Salvation means a lot more than just going to heaven. The price has been paid for you to walk in the power of God in your life here in this earth. The price has been paid for you. In a book, a couple of gentlemen, Robert Logan and Tom Clegg, Releasing Your Church's Potential, they point out that the enemy, Satan, only sees two type of people. The first are those that do not threaten him at all. There's two categories. The other is the group that do threaten him and he has to fight against. Fighting against this, when we're in this battle that we know that we're in, the enemy is going to fight against us. And you know, in the spirit realm, this is kind of the way I envision it. There's a big red blood mark on us called redemption. And when the enemy sees that, he knows those are the people that he has to fight against. Because we have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Let's look at some things from Scripture that, going back, we're going to go back into the Mosaic Law and look at things that were redeemed. Leviticus chapter 25, verse 29. If a man sells a house in a walled city, then he may redeem it within a whole year after it is sold. Within a full year, he may redeem it. Okay, it's telling us within a year, if somebody lived in a city in Israel and they had a house, they had a whole year to go back after they sold their home to go back and repurchase that home. So if they had second thoughts about something that they sold, how many have ever had second thoughts about something you sold? You thought, oh man, wait, I wish I hadn't have done that. Had a whole year to go back and get your home back. But then, it goes on to say, but if it is not redeemed within the space of a full year, then the house in the walled city shall belong permanently to him who bought it. Throughout his generation, it shall not be released in the Jubilee. All right. I think it's something that we need to talk a little bit about. Maybe you don't understand what the year Jubilee is. Maybe you don't understand the seven, the perfect number of God. But seven is God's perfect number. God created the earth in 6 days. And on the seventh day, he rested. Now, that seventh day was a Shabbat, a Jewish Shabbat, or a Sabbath day. The seventh day that he's talking about, now, for those of you who feel like you have to live by the letter of the law, you shouldn't be here this morning. Because yesterday was the Sabbath. Saturday is a Jewish biblical Sabbath. Thank God we do not live by the letter of the law, and according to the teachings that I understand, Paul released us to worship on any given day or every day. That's more like it. We're supposed to worship every day. But we choose to congregate and come here on Sunday. So there was a 7-day cycle. And every 7 days, or on the seventh day, there was to be a time of worshiping God. A rest, a day of rest. How many have a day of rest? I mean, really a day of rest. Some of you do? Okay, that's awesome. I would venture to say the majority of the body of Christ, we do not really have a complete day of rest. We're going here and going there and running and doing all kinds of things. You know, a complete day of rest based on the biblical standard would be doing nothing that day. Laying around, reading the word. You weren't even supposed to cook on that day. You were supposed to prepare your food beforehand. I really would like to have a little bit of downtime in my life, and I think our society needs it. But wow, I can't imagine being, you know, every that day not doing anything. And of course, the Jewish people got to the point where they were so legalistic with it that you couldn't walk more than a mile. You couldn't carry a certain load. You couldn't do all. There was all kinds of legalistic things that they put along with it that God did not intend. So, all right. 7-year cycle. Not only was there a seven-day cycle, there was a 7-year cycle. So every 7 years was also a sabbatical year. And on that 7 years sabbatical year, many things took place. One of the things that happened, if you were a slave, and we'll talk a little bit about that, if you had been sold as a servant to somebody to pay your debts, you were released on that 7th year. Awesome. A lot of incredible things in the law of the Lord. And then there is the 7 sevens, or 49 years of sevens. And on the 49th year, the next year, the 50th year, is the year they call the year of Jubilee. And it was celebrated big time as an incredible time, because not only were the slaves released, debts were forgiven, and on that same year, the land that anyone had sold reverted back to the family that sold it. So you never lost, and eventually you never lost your property. It was always yours, and it stayed in the family. This is important stuff as we continue with this teaching, for us to understand God's redemptive power for us. We can't lose it. It's ours, because God did the work for us. All right, we'll talk a little bit more about that. The second thing is land in the country was redeemable. Leviticus 25:31, however, the house of the villages which have no walls around them shall be counted as the fields of the country. So villages and country homes, they may be redeemed, and they shall be released in the year of Jubilee. So these are the ones that were all released during the year of Jubilee. But here's the thing, they could be redeemed at any time by the person who sold it or by a family member. How many have read the book of Ruth? Okay, if you've heard the story, read the story, the book of Ruth is all about the kinsman redeemer. A kinsman being able to redeem or buy back what was sold. Ruth's family. So the person could buy it back, and it was based on how many years had elapsed since they sold it coming up to the Jubilee. So closer you got, the less you had to pay for it. The further away from the Jubilee, the more you'd have to pay for it. It was a very equitable system that they had. So the redemption price was calculated on the amount of time until the Jubilee. Redeemed. I want you to understand, the Jewish culture was permeated with the idea of redemption. And in every area of their life, they understood what redemption was all about. A.J. Gordon was a great Baptist pastor of a church in Boston, Massachusetts. And the story's told that he was standing on the corner one day, and a little boy came by with a cage full of birds. And the pastor looked at the little boy and he said, "What are you going to do with those birds?" And he said, "Well, I'm probably going to take them home. I'm going to play with them a little while. And then I'm probably going to feed them to my cat." And the pastor said, "Well, would you let me buy them from you?" And the little boy said, "You don't want these birds. They're not even songbirds. They're just worthless birds." And he said, I'll give you $2 for those birds." The little boy said, "Okay, but you're not getting a very good deal." And he gave him $2, and the little boy went on his way. The pastor took those birds out back, released those birds. And he used it in the cage. And as those birds, of course, they were happy to be free and they flew away. And the pastor used this cage as an illustration in his sermon as he was talking about redemption. And as he wrapped it up, he said to the congregation, you know, this little boy said that these were not songbirds, but he said, I swear, I heard them when I released them. I heard them sing, redeemed, redeemed, redeemed. Redeemed from the cage. Amen. Redemption is powerful for each and every one of us. The third thing is a Hebrew sold as a slave. Deuteronomy 15:12. If your brother, a Hebrew man or a Hebrew woman, is sold to you and serves you 6 years, then in the seventh year, you shall let him go free from you. At any time, this person that was sold as a slave, and we call them slave, but that there was regulations on how they could be treated in the Mosaic law. They were more like servants rather than what you would think of as a slave ownership, because they sold themselves to this person to pay a debt, and after 7 years, that debt was going to be paid, and they would be free. However, if they acquired the amount of money, it was possible for them to pay off their debt. They could pay it off and be free, or somebody in the family could come along and pay it off. If a person was loved the individual that they were serving, and they wanted to stay there, they had a family, they had a good life, there was a process where the person could say, I do not want to leave. I don't want my debt to be forgiven. And they were to take that person and lay them on, they were to lay down, and they would take an awl and poke a hole in their ear. That way, everybody in the society knew that they were going to serve and stay with this family. They became a family member, no longer just a servant. Because that's what they wanted. Do you realize we are marked? We're not just servants. We're sons. We're daughters of the Most High God. We're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Redemption means there's a price that has to be paid sometimes. There was a price paid for us. I've read a lot of stories about people who have given their life for others. But there was one in particular that I read that, you know, it was a true story. The U.S. Dorchester was a transport ship that transported troops from New York to Europe during World War II. And in January 1943, 900 men, which included four chaplains, loaded on that ship and were taken to go fight in the war. On their way over there, a German U-boat spotted them and sank the ship. There was no hope. The ship was going down. The chaplains helped calm the men down and you know, told them what to do, helped get them in lifeboats, and started they put on a life jacket, and then they started distributing life jackets. They were getting prepared, and they calmly helped the men understand that they could get away from the ship. They had lifeboats and life jackets. But what they found out was when they got right down to it, they didn't have enough life jackets. So those chaplains made a decision. They gave up their life jacket to other men. They gave them to those men, and then when it came time, they loaded the men on life rafts. And when they got ready to get on the life raft themselves, there was no room. One man gave an account. He said, I wasn't able to get on the life raft, but as I was getting ready to get in the water and swim away, he said, I saw these four men huddled together in prayer. And he said, I heard them praying for the safety of the men. And then he said, I don't know what happened to them after that. We know they gave up their life. They gave their life for other people. Now, here's the interesting thing about it. Those men, and evidently, and I don't know them personally, but I would say they were chaplains during World War II. That usually meant they really did know Jesus. They were redeemed, and they knew exactly where they were going after their death. But they may have given up their life jacket to somebody who had not received Christ as their personal Savior, and maybe eventually did. They didn't know, but they were willing to sacrifice. I want you to understand this idea of redemption takes a sacrifice. To be redeemed, somebody has to pay a price. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom. That word ransom is redeemer. He redeemed us. He paid the price for us. Fourth thing. They could redeem their tithe. If a man, Leviticus 27:31, if a man wants it all to redeem any of his tithes, he shall add one-fifth to it. Now, so God made a provision for them that they didn't have to pay their tithe right away, but if they decided they were going to wait for a while, what did they have to do? Pay an additional 5%. So 15% was their tithe. If they redeemed it, I want you to think about that just a little bit in regards to tithing. Now, we're not under the law, but God's not laying a condemnation on you, and there's not a curse going to come up on you, but the enemy has a way in your life if you're not obedient to the Word of God. And the Word says that he will rebuke the devourer from your finances if you're faithful to do what he tells you to do. So yeah, you can redeem your tithe, or they could redeem their tithe, but there was a price to that as well. Redemption in their life, in their society, was all about the whole culture. They recognized that it was everything about their life. It was about their family. It was about their land. It was about their money. It was about their relationships. Redemption was powerful, and they knew it. Number five, the last one. You could redeem the firstborn. Exodus 13:12. And 13, that you shall set apart to the Lord all that open the womb, that is every firstborn that comes from an animal which you have, the male shall be the Lord's. Next one. But every firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb, and if you will not redeem it, then you shall break its neck, and all the firstborn of man among your sons you shall redeem. Okay, so every firstborn son had to be redeemed. Any unclean animal was to be, it says donkey here, but it was all unclean animals that they had, was to be redeemed. What's that mean, redeemed? In this aspect, it meant it was redeemed with a lamb. A lamb was a clean animal, a lamb without spot or blemish. A clean animal had to take the place of an unclean animal. And even in the case of man, you know, man is unclean except for the blood of Jesus. Man, Adam, sinned in the garden, and he gave himself up. He gave himself over to the enemy. He gave away his birthright. Do you realize that? You remember the story of Esau and Jacob? Esau, they were twins. Esau was born first, and he was supposed to have the birthright. But Jacob, one day Esau came in and he was hungry from being out in the field. And Jacob said, I'll give you some of this stew if you'll just sell me your birthright. And he did. He sold his birthright. This is an example of what happened with Adam in the garden. He gave up his birthright. We have lost our birthright, but because of the blood of the Lamb, the redemption that we have in Jesus Christ, we've gained it back. Yes, thank you, Lord. We are redeemed. There's a story told about Cyrus, the great king of the Medo and Persian Empire. And it's told that Cyrus had conquered a king, and that the king came in before Cyrus. And Cyrus said, what will you give me for your life? And he said, this king said, I'll give you half of my wealth. He said, okay, what will you give me for your family, for your children? He said, I'll give you all of my wealth. He said, what will you give me for your wife? He said, I'll give you my life. Cyrus was so moved, according to this legend, so moved by this guy's love and compassion for his family and his wife that he released him. He let him go. And as they were going away, the man turned to his wife and he said, wasn't Cyrus a grand, handsome man? And the wife said, I didn't notice. I was so enthralled with the man who said he would give his life for me. I didn't notice anything else. I'm enthralled with the man who gave his life for me. The Lord Jesus Christ. I'm in love with him. And that's not, you know, it's not weird. It's not strange. I love him because he first loved me and redeemed me by his blood. Stand with me.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I hope you've been blessed by this message, because our desire is to connect you to God and his kingdom with anointed messages. If you have enjoyed this podcast and would like more information about our ministry, please visit our website at bethelchurch.community. And remember, love never fails.